Well, I am excited to have the opportunity to bring God's Word to you tonight. And I'm going to get a little personal with everyone tonight because Missions Conference has a real special place in my heart. And Pastor Dan, I don't know how much you remember from about a little over 8 years ago. It was May of 2000. Well, let's see, 2003. May of 2003 when I sat right back here, about four rows back, might have been five rows, right where the empty spot was. I was hoping to point somebody out that was sitting there tonight, but it's not going to happen. Colleen and I were sitting there, and it was the Tuesday night, back when we would do a Sunday night, or we start Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And it was about a Tuesday night, I believe it was, when I came forward and I talked to Pastor Tommy and Pastor Dan, and we prayed together. Because at that moment, I realized that I wanted to go and I wanted to serve the Lord full time. I wasn't sure how it was going to happen. I didn't know why I wanted to do it, but I just knew that there was a burden on my heart to work with not just young people, but people in general, and help God's Word to be seen living through other people and letting God use my life to do that. And it's a special time at Missions Conference. You know, God's Word speaks to us in every service, but Missions Conference has always had that to me. And even before that, Brother Tony, you remember our very first trip to Iceland. Went on a missions trip to Iceland, and I know that God was working on my heart then, and it was time after time that these things were going on that really God was impressing on my heart that, man, Rob, there's so much more value in your life than what you're allowing me to use you with. And so I'm going to be transparent tonight. I'm going to let you know kind of how God's been working in my life since here at Crossroads, because I didn't go to a Bible college, you know, right out of high school. I didn't do all the things that a lot of times people expect pastors to do or anything. I'm a result of this church and God's Word and the way it's taught and the people that have been willing in this church to invest in the lives of other people. And so tonight, I'm going to be real upfront, and I want to show you something from the Bible that I believe that we can all learn from. Another couple in the Bible that we see in Acts chapter 18. So go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 18 tonight. And I really want us to think about the most value for the ministry. You know, the value of a church, one thing that I love about this church is the value of a church is not its seating capacity. One of the things that the church, anybody that wants to go and become a new member and we present to them all the things that our church stands for and believes, one of the things that we emphasize is that our church isn't about how many people we can fit and filling up every seat, every week, every service. That's not what we strive to do. What we really strive to do is not increasing our seating capacity, but increasing our sending capacity. Equipping people, and that's what I loved about what Brother Stephen mentioned tonight. His desire isn't just to build the biggest church in the Dominican Republic. It's to equip young people, to equip people in general, to be able to take God's Word and go out and teach it also. And that's really what we all need to be evaluating in our lives, of how valuable am I to the ministry? Hold your place in Acts chapter 18. We're going to do a lot of flipping around tonight, and I've got some verses on PowerPoint that I'm going to share with you tonight. But go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 real quick. And I want you to see this ministry that we all have a responsibility to fulfill. If you look at it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, the Apostle Paul is writing here to the church at Corinth, and he says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." So we've been given this ministry of reconciliation, taking the truth out and helping others to see their need for Christ in their life. In verse 20, he says, "Now then we are ambassadors for who? For Christ, an ambassador or representative." Well, an ambassador being a representative, you know, one thing that I have, when I was studying this out and thinking about this the past couple of weeks, is really about what an asset is. How much of an asset are you to the ministry of reconciliation? Because as an ambassador, we're all an asset. In God's eyes, we are all valuable to the ministry of reconciliation. But you notice one person, an item has more value than another. I was reading a story about a rich man that was actually, and this is a true story, a rich man that was on the Titanic. And they say that there were several millionaires, and at that time, a millionaire was a lot of money when the Titanic went down. But at that time, there were several millionaires, and there was one man that was on the boat that survived, and he left behind in his safe in his room $300,000, all of his jewelry, and some other very valuable artifacts and things. And then when he was asked about, man, you left all of that behind, what do you think? He said, well, at that time, those things did not seem that valuable to me. So what did he do? He grabbed three oranges on the way out. Those three oranges were more valuable to him than the $300,000 and the other things that were in that safe. Because it was the perspective that he had. His perspective had changed. And I think if we would look at things from God's perspective, and we would evaluate our lives as an asset for the ministry of reconciliation that God has reconciled us for, to go out and to share the truth with others. He wanted us to know Him personally so that we could have a personal relationship with Him and eternal life. But it didn't end there. He had more for us that He desired for us to do. And so if we were to look at our lives from God's perspective, how valuable of an asset are we? And I believe that every believer, every Christian should be a valuable asset to the ministry of reconciliation. But how? And God's Word is so powerful and clear that if we would take time to study it, we'll see that God gives us clearly the things that we need to apply into our life to become that valuable asset. And He also gives us some great examples to answer the questions like these. And look at Acts chapter 18. Here's a young couple. Well, we don't know exactly their age, but here's a couple in Acts chapter 18 that become a great asset to the ministry, especially with the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 18, the Apostle Paul, he travels here to Corinth, and it says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born of Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. Paul comes unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, meaning that he worked with them, for by their occupation they were tent makers. So here he comes to Aquila and Priscilla, and Paul meets them, possibly because they were tent makers. And Paul, we know from the book of Thessalonians, when Paul wrote to that church, he told them that he wasn't going to be chargeable unto any man, so he would work with his own hands and wouldn't just go and expect people to give him, you know, the support that he needed to eat and everything. So here he found some people that were tent makers. Paul was able to be a tent maker, and he wrought with him. He worked with him. So the relationship starts here with this couple, Aquila and Priscilla. And they're Jewish tent makers, kicked out of Rome because they were Jewish. And the two open their hearts and most likely their home to Paul. And the two again are mentioned in Romans chapter 16. Hold your place here in Acts. We're going to come back, but go over to Romans 16 for a minute, and I want you to see what Paul mentions about this couple in the letter that he wrote to Rome. Romans 16, verse 3. You there? Say amen. Good. He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Now look at this, verse 4. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. These two were vital to Paul. He recognized the fact that they laid down their own necks. They put their neck on the line, so to speak, for the Apostle Paul and the ministry of reconciliation, that mystery that was revealed to Paul. And surely the reason that Aquila and Priscilla became vital workers with Paul because of what they believed and what they knew. And so the very place they ran is where God kind of put somebody in their way that was willing to invest in them, and then they became an asset. But they weren't an asset at that point. What was it that changed in Aquila and Priscilla's life that made them that valuable asset that Paul mentioned in the book of Romans? Before that, we saw them in Rome, and from Rome they were running to Corinth because they were run out of Rome. What changed? What changed in their lives? And I believe that we'll see three things tonight that will answer the question what we need to do to become valuable assets to the ministry. Three things that we'll see in the lives of Aquila and Priscilla that if we'll apply to our lives, we'll become just as valuable assets to the ministry. Number one tonight, you must grow in your understanding of God's plan. It's not a mystery, but clearly laid out in His Word. It's not this plan that we're just having to sit back and wait, and you know, it just happened to be that night in 2003 in May that God finally said, okay, Rob, this is what I want you and Colleen to do. No, it was simply me looking at His Word and a couple of or several years of growing in this church that I couldn't any longer deny what the Holy Spirit was putting in my heart that, hey, you need to get out and get some people saved. You need to reach some people and teach God's word to people. You don't need to just sit back and be a sponge. We've seen the illustration many times with Pastor Dan. You need to be a funnel. And it was at that point that I finally said, okay. But what, how did I get to that point? Because my understanding of God's plan grew. It's uncertain whether Aquila and Priscilla knew the Lord before they met Paul, because it says that Aquila was from the city of Pontus. And I'm going to bring up a map here because we're going to use it a couple of times through the message. But I want to show you, this is a map of the region of Asia Minor. Over here, it worked a minute ago. Over here we have Italy up in the top left corner. Way over here we see Pontus. Aquila was from over here in this region near the Black Sea. And then when we see him in the Bible, he was over here in Italy, in Rome, and then had run down here to Corinth. He was run out of Rome and wound up in Corinth where he meets Paul. So he starts over here. And we don't have any indication of when he met Paul, whether he was saved or not, him and his wife, whether they knew the Lord. But what we do know is something drastic changes at this point. It's very possible that they did know the Lord, because Paul, we're in the region that he first traveled in his first missionary trip. You'll see some of the red lines that are on the screen over here on the right where he traveled. It's very possible that the gospel reached up to where Aquila was, and he heard the Lord and knew the Lord. But what we know is once he meets Paul here in Acts, something changes. And it goes back to my life. You know, I accepted Christ in the seventh grade as my personal Lord and Savior. But I'll tell you, for 10 years of my life, my growth was nothing until Colleen and I started getting plugged in here at this church. And it really started when we got married here and we wanted to start visiting a church. And I remember Pastor Dan saying before that when he married us, he figured we were going to be another one of the young couples that came, said, hey, we want to get married, and he didn't expect to see us much after that. Little did he know that he couldn't get rid of us. But we got married, began coming to the services on Sunday mornings, and the one terrifying Sunday morning, I told Colleen, I said, hey, let's get up a little bit earlier, and let's go try out a life group, a Sunday school class. She wasn't real keen on the idea. But we went and we sat in Tony Foster's life group class. And we sat in that class for some time, and then after being in there for probably a year or so, Brother Tony asked if, you know, I'd be willing to substitute teach here and there. After he saw the fact that we were growing, we were faithful. We went from coming to church on Sunday mornings to coming to church Sunday morning, going to life group, coming Sunday night, coming Wednesday night. And what that was doing was allowing the Word of God to be taught to us. We began to grow in our knowledge and understanding of God's Word. Because many people today, Christians, believe that God's plan consists of just saving the lost for eternity from the lake of fire. But let me tell you tonight, there's more. In 2 Corinthians 5:15, the Apostle Paul wrote, and that he died for all that they which live, and teenagers, you ought to be able to recite this because I do it all the time with you, but that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. There was to be a life change that it was to take place. And many times we take for granted the importance of solid biblical teaching from the Bible. And I'll tell you what, there was 10 years of my life where I had little Bible teaching, but there was nothing solid. It wasn't valuable. Until we came here and we got solid biblical teaching in a way that the Holy Spirit was able to start teaching and instructing and guiding us. There's a verse in the PowerPoint I want to show you, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, that Paul wrote to the Ephesians. He said, the eyes of your, this was his prayer for the church in Ephesus. He said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Meaning that when they got saved, it wasn't, oh, got all the knowledge that I need of the scriptures. No. Paul desired that they would begin to know more, understand, and being enlightened, that ye may what? Know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You know, it was already there. They just needed to know more about it. They'd already been given all of the riches and the inheritance. But they needed to know more about what it was that God was doing and how he did it and all of that. And all of that we're going to get to in the next couple of points. But the point is we have to grow in our knowledge and understanding. And that's what I believe happened with Aquila and Priscilla here. Even if they were saved beforehand, if not, they got saved here, but then they began to grow with the Apostle Paul. He began to teach them the scriptures and what God was doing, revealing to them that mystery. And We can't just expect to grow in that knowledge by attending church on a Sunday morning. I'm going to be honest with you. We don't expect our kids to go to school one day a week and that be enough. No, they go 5 days a week. Why? So they can continue to grow and know and gain the knowledge that they're going to need. And much the same, we need to be in God's Word daily, not just on Sunday. And we say, hey, Brother Rob, I go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Great, are you reading and are you in the Bible on Tuesday, on Thursday, on Friday, and Saturday? Because you need to be in it continually. You need to have people teach you the Word of God, and you need to be reading it and letting the Holy Spirit continue to work through the Word of God on your own time. Growing in your understanding of God's plan. It's all right here. The whole thing's right here. I don't have to sit back and wait for a point in my life where God reveals it. He said, here, it's right here. Go get it. With an understanding of all that we've been given in Christ, there's a new desire to see Christ using the life that He bought. I love 1 Corinthians 6:20. Because it talks about we've been bought with a price. Therefore, we need to glorify God with our body and our spirit. And the end of that verse is, which are God's. You see, we've been bought with a price. The blood of Jesus Christ. He came and He gave His life and sacrificed, allowed Himself to be a sacrifice so that we could live unto Him, 2 Corinthians 5. Living unto Him. And the more we understand about that, the more it gives us the desire to see Christ use this life. Lord, You bought it. I want You to be able to use it. And Aquila and Priscilla obviously had a new desire after seeing or spending more time, more than probably a year, year and a half with Paul in Corinth. In Acts chapter 18, verse 11, it says, and he continued there a year and 6 months, speaking of Corinth, teaching the word of God among them. The people. That means Aquila and Priscilla were sitting under Paul's teaching for a year and a half. Not to mention that he was working with them with tent making, so you know what? He had a lot of time to spend with Aquila and Priscilla. And so much so that we see here that later on in verse 18, and Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him, who's traveling? Priscilla and Aquila. And so here we see they leave with Paul. They ran from Rome for fear of their life, meet up with Paul in Corinth, and now they're willing to go with this guy wherever he's going to go. What a change. To me, that is a drastic change. Why? Because they grew in the understanding of what God was doing, an understanding that I don't believe they had before. But the second thing that we see in their lives that we can apply, if we're going to be a valuable asset to the ministry, then number two, you must give up your agenda so God has room to work. So many times in this world, we have our own agenda. And I believe here in the first century, tent making was an ancient trade that was needed just about every city. Priscilla and Aquila were known tent makers. What were they doing in Rome? More than likely, it appears that they traveled from Pontus to Rome. Very popular city, very well-established city as far as finances and things go. There was a great need for tent making there and probably a really good place to go to establish a business. Be kind of like if you were going to try to figure out what city you want to go and open up a fried chicken chain, somewhere in the South is the best place to go. Okay? Priscilla and Aquila knew that where the population was and the tents were going to be needed, they were going to go to Rome, more than likely. They got ran out of Rome. Well, now what do? Well, we want to make money making tents. That's our desire. What will we do? I hear Corinth. It's a port city. It's wealthy. A lot of people. We can be successful there. They go to Corinth. Little did they know they would meet Paul there. You know, I believe their agenda was to make money. And once the two met Paul, it seemed their focus changed. And I'm sure they continued making tents where they went. But their agenda behind making them was different. No longer were they, hey, let's serve the Lord, but let's make tents. Now it was, hey, let's make tents so that we can serve the Lord. The whole agenda changed. This was also something that Jesus demonstrated, the importance of laying down our personal agenda or the agenda of the flesh seeking to let God's agenda be very real. Here on the PowerPoint, Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Jesus says, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. This is near the end of Jesus' life when he's praying before the Romans come and take him. Nevertheless, not what? My will, but thine be done. Jesus was recognizing that he had his own desire and agenda, but he said, you know what, I'm going to be obedient to the Father, and it's going to be what you want. Look at the next verse here we have on the PowerPoint in John 6:38. This is earlier on in his ministry. He says, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. See, we have a lot of times our own flesh has an agenda that it wants to create. But man, we got to recognize, not my will, but yours. Brother Robbie, come up here. I'm going to use you for this illustration. I want us to think about the things that we face in our lives. You stand right here because I'm going to bring out some things. And in our agenda, there's a lot of things that we try to carry. And I want us to see, when we look at the things that we have in our life, how that affects our ability to be a valuable asset to the ministry. Number one, there's a couple of things that you can't do without. Okay? You got to have time for coffee. Amen? You got to work. All right? So there's your briefcase. You got to work, so carry that for me. Now, some of you in here, I know in the businesses that you work in, if you're going to work, you're also going to have to make time for some recreation with coworkers. So, Robbie, this is going to be, here, however you want to carry that. I don't carry it that often. But, so, you've got some things going on. Oh, you know how to use that thing. That's good. So, but I happen to know, you've got a family now, right? No kids yet, okay? But when kids come, things change. You can't do without the work, and you got a little bit of the play, but when kids come, they got all kinds of things they want to do, all right? So, here, hang on to those. Got that? Yeah, you're not done, hang on. Because there's also, you got it figured out, brother. You're going to have a little bit of your time that you want hobbies, right? So you're going to go fishing. All right, you doing all right? All right, hang in there, because you are married, and I know that Mandy is going to appreciate this. Lost my mic. Put that back on, but there's a honey-do list you're going to have to take care of. All right? Now, there's some things you're holding. You okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not going to leave you up here the whole time. But there's some things you're holding that you probably could do without. And right now, you'd probably rather do without. Because there's something I haven't even handed you yet. When the Lord says, hey, Robbie, I've got some things I'd like for you to do. Can you take it? You can try to take it there, right? Now, how effective are you going to be using that word with everything else on you?
Lay it down.
Exactly. Did you hear what he said? He said, I've got to lay it down. There's some things that he's going to have to lay down that represent his agenda. Man, I got to get out and play golf with the guys because I want to be successful in my business. I want to be able to make a lot of money, and so I've got to do these things. Okay, I've got to be a father, so I got this going on. And I got a little bit of hobbies that I want to go out and go fishing and things. Got to take care of the honey-do list. That's important. Okay, you don't want to put that one down really yet. But all of these things consume his ability to be that valuable asset for the Lord. And we have to come to a point where we're saying, all right, you know what, some of this I can really do without. I want to be successful, but if it comes at the expense of how successful the ministry of reconciliation is going to be through me, then you know what? Maybe my focus on my job has got to change. You can put it down.
All of it?
Yeah, you can put all of it down. I appreciate your help, man. You don't have... You are giving my hand. You know, that's exactly what we see here, though. He's done. Hopefully he's not going golfing. And what we see here with Priscilla and Aquila, though, is it seems that what they once were doing, traveling from city to city, making tents, all of a sudden changed. No longer was that their heart's desire. And it's funny how that we'll begin to listen, as we begin to listen and apply the Bible to our own life, it can reprioritize our heart. You know, Jesus set the example in Philippians chapter 2 when it talks about, well, Paul talks about Jesus' life. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, he talks about, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I emphasize this so many times with our teenagers and things, and he says, let this mind, meaning that it just doesn't naturally happen. We have to choose to allow the mind of Christ to be in us and on us. He said, and let the mind of Christ be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He became obedient to the Lord's will, to the Father's will. He gave himself to that. And you know, as we get in the Bible is able to change our lives. First, it changes us on the inside. If we look at 2 Corinthians 5:17, a verse many of us know in here, probably tonight, is, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So the moment I trust Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'm made a new creature. But you know what? Just like I said earlier, when I got saved, all of a sudden, I didn't have everything figured out, clear, knew what I was doing, where I was going, what I was going to be doing here today. No. What it was is, and for 10 years, I had no idea, but once I started growing in God's Word, I began changing on the outside. Here on the PowerPoint, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 is a great verse dealing with the Word of God and how powerful it is. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And he says, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible's able to tell me that, Rob, your heart's wrong right here. Rob, there's some things going on that you're not on line with me right here. The Holy Spirit says, look, you're out of line here. You need a little too much focus on this area of your life. Your agenda, you need to clear a little bit of it because God's not getting it. And here I think we see Aquila and Priscilla taking time. And here's another one that I realized. Even once I decided, all right, Lord, I'm going to surrender and I'm going to go into the ministry because I know that I can be valuable and a valuable asset there. Well, you know what? There was a year later before I really did anything and moved on it. And in fact, there was a day when Pastor Dan, you called me and said, hey, you want to do lunch today? He had no idea what was going on. We met at Popeyes, fried chicken in the South. Met at Popeyes over on Ridgewood. And he just said, hey, how's things going? And I said, well, it's funny you ask and call today because I just put my resignation in. Where I was working over on Beachside as a director of the department that I worked with for a major resort chain on Beachside. And I'm not saying this to boast or anything else, but what I'm saying is I recognize that, Rob, you told the Lord you're going to serve Him with your life, and here it is a year later, you haven't done anything. Why? My work was in the way. My work was in the way. And I stepped away from the work, and I knew, okay, I grew up in a good family. I could find ways to make money, and we did, because it wasn't even for a year after that before I came on staff here at the church. But my point is the work was in the way. But even when we're serving in the ministry, which I was doing for that year, I was serving with the teens and things while I was working on Beachside. Even when we're serving with the ministry, you can still get your own agenda. But we've got to be willing to listen and be alert every day, every service. Lord, what is it today in this service that you want me to get so that I can become a more valuable asset for your ministry? I love this verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. He says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. Guard it. Watch out. Be careful. Why? And be more ready to what? Hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Lord, I went to the church today and served in the children's ministry. Worked in the nursery. God says, good, good. Did you hear what my word said today to you? Well, Lord, I was giving my time to you today. I was a little busy. I'd rather you hear my word. I'd rather you go with an open heart and an open ear so that I can work in your life. Don't bring sacrifices of fools. Well, Lord, look, I gave you a sacrifice. He says, for they consider not that they do evil. Not meaning that they're sinners, wicked, but you know what? They're bringing it the wrong way, and God didn't please God. When we come to church, we need to be willing to hear. And when we leave church, if we didn't hear something, two flags need to raise. One, what did I let get in the way from me hearing the word? Two, what was that church just teaching? Well, I mean, I tell the teenagers all the time, hey, if you did not learn anything on a Wednesday night, you need to come up and let me know. Because that's a concern to me, that one of two things, either I'm not doing what I need to do serving the Lord and giving myself to Him to teach you, or you came in and something was in the way and you missed it. Because that thing will speak to you if you let it. And if it's taught right. So what's going on? We got to give up our agenda so God can work. But number three, as we do that, this leads me to the last point. Once you've grown in your understanding of God's grace and you purpose in your heart and say, okay, Lord, I'm giving up my desires for whatever is going to be best for you, then you know what? You must be willing to go where you can make the greatest impact. And it seems from Paul's letters that Aquila and Priscilla didn't stay in one place. They also were on the move, like Paul, establishing churches where they were needed. I think this is so neat. Look at Acts 18:18. You should still be there in Acts. When he said there in verse 18, and Paul after this tarried there a yet good while, and then Priscilla and Aquila, they left with him. Go down to verse 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. This is speaking of Apollos. Well, back up to verse 24. Let's get the context. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So he did not know the mystery. He had not heard what had been revealed to Paul yet, and he was not teaching anything that Paul had been revealed to Paul. He was teaching from what John the Baptist knew. Well, and it says in verse 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, if you're sitting out there tonight, and this was me, Lord, what in the world are you going to do with a tent maker when this guy is eloquent and well-skilled and knowledgeable in your scriptures? Priscilla and Aquila could have sat back and said, man, I don't know what we can tell this guy. He's too smart. But you know what? Because they had grown in the truth. And they said, Lord, your will, not mine. They recognized that something was wrong, and they were willing to go boldly before him, Apollos, and set him straight. They couldn't have done that before, I guarantee. I don't believe it. Had they not met Paul in Corinth and they ran into Apollos later, they would not have been able to do what they did. Because God was able to grow them through Paul, teach them, and now they had boldness. Here were some tent makers willing to sit down and expound upon the Gospels with this educated, eloquent man. And you know, here they are in Ephesus doing this, and it appears from 1 Corinthians 16:19 on the PowerPoint, if you look at it, from when Paul's writing this to the church in Corinth. This is written during Paul's third missionary journey, they believe. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with what? The church that is in their house. Now here they are in Asia, which, can we go back to the map? This is where I'm going to probably jump back and forth a little bit on you. But over here we've got the Asia Minor over here on the left where we were talking about earlier. It quit working again. All right, over here is Asia Minor. Ephesus sits right here. So it's believed that Priscilla and Aquila had opened up their house and started a church here somewhere in this region for the gospel. And Paul is telling the Corinthians that they greet them. So here we see them with the church in Ephesus. But then let's go back to Romans 16. Flip back over there. Flip forward real quickly to Romans 16. And I want you to get this. As Paul's writing to Roman, the book of Romans was written after the book of 1 Corinthians. Still during Paul's third missionary trip. And in Romans chapter 16, verse 3, we said, greet Priscilla and Aquila. Okay, so he's telling the church at Rome, greet Priscilla and Aquila. What is that telling us? Priscilla and Aquila should be where then? In Rome. He's telling the church at Rome, greet Priscilla and Aquila. Tell them hello. Tell them I said hello. Because here Paul's going through and telling greet all these different people. And here we see greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own neck. We're going to touch on this in just a second. Unto whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. Verse 5, likewise greet the church that is where? In their house. It would appear from the what Paul was saying here, that now, at this point, this is probably a year and a half, 2 years after he wrote 1 Corinthians, he writes to the Romans, and now Priscilla and Aquila have went back to Rome, mind you, where they were kicked out of probably 5 to 7 years earlier, and have established a church in their home there. They were willing to go wherever they needed to go. They saw that there was a need for a greater impact there in Rome. They picked up, obviously went to Rome, and established a church there. Somewhere in that area. Man, you think about an athlete. If an athlete, let's say in football, we're in football season, a guy is 180 pounds, all right, 180 pounds, soaking wet, but he wants to be the best offensive lineman that he can be. I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't know football, 180-pound offensive lineman is probably not the greatest. Right, Brother Tim? Brother Tim coaches Atlantic High School. 180 pounds. If a guy came to you at 180 pounds and said, I want to be an offensive lineman for you, coach, you'd probably try to put him somewhere else, right? Because he doesn't realize that he's probably going to be a better asset somewhere else, being at 180 pounds. He's not quite big enough, strong enough to be that great asset. So a good athlete knows where he's going to be able to be best used. And I remember the fear of stepping out 8 years ago during missions conference. And I know that I wanted to be, that I wanted it as far as my, things were good as far as my family and my work goes. Things were real good. But even though those things were good, I looked at it and said, you know what, Lord, I realize that I can be used better somewhere else than what I'm doing right now. And so Colleen and I talked that week and we prayed that week. And then I decided that Tuesday night to go and talk to Pastor Dan and let him know what was going on. The Apostle Paul knew the pull that the world would have on people who sought to please the Lord. In 2 Timothy 2:4, he says, no man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. When we get comfortable, a.k.a. entangled, I believe, a lot of times we just get comfortable where we are. We got entangled in this world, in the things of this world. That we're either physically where you live or mentally the things that you have and the life that you have. It's too hard to leave the life and pursue what God would please or is pleased with the most for you to do. A lot of times we get entangled with the things. We get comfortable even with where we are and we're not willing to step out. And I have no intention of leaving this area myself, but Colleen and I have talked many times. If it was ever brought to our attention that our family could make a greater impact somewhere else, who am I to deny God's glory? Who am I to say, Lord, I know that I can glorify you there a little bit more, but I'm glorifying you here, Lord, so I'll just go ahead and stick here if that's all right. He deserves more, as much glory as I can possibly allow my life to give to him. Who am I to say, Lord, I just prefer to do it here if it's ever presented that it can be done somewhere else? You know, don't think that if you leave the spot, and I've heard this one before, well, God's just not going to be able to fill in this spot with anybody else like me. He can do it. Don't worry about that. If you're willing to go to where you can be used the greatest, somebody else will step in and be willing to fill that spot where they can be used the greatest. And even if God is glorified through you where you are, doing what you're doing, if the grace of God can be glorified more through you in a different ministry, or maybe more involved, or in Montana, Alaska, Jordan, Dominican Republic, Zambia, wherever it is that God can use you more, who are you to say that, Lord, I'd rather just give you the glory that I have right here instead of giving you more glory there? You know, what God needs are more Aquilas and Priscillas who are willing to grow in their knowledge and understanding and give up the agenda to make room for God's and willing to go wherever it is that God's going to be most glorified. That's church, I believe, what we need to take. You know, and missions is a great time to think about it. Lord, wherever it is that you want me, I need to be willing to go. I need to be growing. Lord, I need to lay my agenda aside and be willing to go. Let's pray.